The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Anyway, now look at this. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no. So everything they sprinkle blood on it. Nice verse, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than this. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of. Remember, I said this yesterday. So he's saying the same way the high priest will carry blood and enter into the most holy place to purge everything with blood. He said Jesus did the same thing, but he did not enter into the physical one, because that physical one is just a figure. Do you get the point? Christ did not enter into the physical one. Where did he enter? Look at the Bible. Where did he enter? Into heaven itself. And so what the high priest was doing every year, to carry blood into the most holy place and sprinkle it, was what Jesus did when he carried blood and entered into the most holy place. But notice this verse did not mention blood. What did he say? To enter into heaven itself, to do what? To appear in the presence of God. So instead of Jesus carrying blood into the most holy place, he appeared. I've explained that to you before, right? Instead of him carrying blood to go and sprinkle, why were they sprinkling that blood? Because there was no way for the lamb they were using in the Testament to die and rise. So they will carry the blood and sprinkle, representing the life of the animal that was killed. I get what I'm saying. That's why verse 11 will say the life of a thing is in its blood. So to represent that the animal is there, they sprinkle blood. So when it was time for Jesus to shed his own blood, he died, carried his blood, I mean his life. He now went and sat down there as the high priest. So he became both the offering, the sacrifice, and the high priest. This is what they were doing on the Day of Atonement year in, year out. When Jesus came, so the Day of Atonement is clearly representing the high priestly ministry of Christ now. You know Christ is our high priest today. What does the high priest do? He sprinkles blood. Jesus went there and sprinkled blood and sat there as the eternal blood. Look at this. So you find out he teaches Jesus as the high priest. Look at Hebrews 7 verse 23. So the Day of Atonement explains Jesus as being our high priest. It doesn't just explain what he did on the cross. He explains what he did in resurrection and what he is doing even today. I get what I'm talking about. Who is Jesus to you today? Huh? How is he your high priest? Huh? Talk, how is Jesus our high priest today? Okay, what's the job of a high priest? To offer sacrifices, right? What did Jesus do? Okay. Why is Jesus our high priest till today? Because the sacrifice he offered is still there counted. He is the sacrifice. I get the point. So he sat down as the right of God as both the sacrifice, the offering, and the high priest. Look at this. And they truly were many priests. Because they were not suffered to continue by the reason of that. They say there are many priests, but they keep dying. Because they keep dying, every new priest will emerge every day. New priests will emerge every day. Now, verse 24 now says, but this man, because he continued forever, had what? So what the high priest does once every year on the Day of Atonement, Jesus did once. And sat that as the high priest. Now verse 25, he has an unchangeable priest, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. So the priest of the testament offers sacrifices that would expire. So the Day of Atonement expires every year. The Day of Atonement will expire every year. But when Jesus went there, he made a permanent atonement, which is actually the wrong word. The Because atonement was what they had in the Old Testament. It means to cover sin. You will never see in the New Testament where the Bible said that our sins were atoned for. No, our sins were not atoned for. Our sins were taken away. They were blotted out. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what they were doing in atonement, covering sin every year, Jesus went and did the right thing and sat there. So the Day of Atonement is to celebrate Jesus as our high priest. The man that took away sin forever. Go back to Hebrews 9. Look at verse 6. So he is not just our high priest when he died on the cross. He wasn't our high priest when he died on the cross. He was our high priest when he rose actually, physically. He was our high priest when he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's where the high priest lived, because the work of the high priest happens in the Holy of Holies. I know what I'm talking about. And this Holy of Holies now is in heaven. So he went and became the main high priest. So Jesus is seated there as our high priest. He said, look at this. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went also into the first tabernacle. This thing I just explained to you is what I want to read. First tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood. He entered with blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. So he offered for himself and for the people, because he was not free to. The Holy Ghost was using that to signify that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. That one, God was trying to say that something has not yet been opened. So that's what they were doing, was drama. It was a figure. Now, the next verse, which was a figure for the time then present, in which we are offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. So it couldn't make them perfect, but they were doing it, yeah, representing what was to come. Now, verse 10, which stood only meats and diverse washings, meats and drinks and diverse washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. So that thing they were doing was to last until this time of reformation. Are you getting the point? So everything they were doing was to continue happening. The Day of Atonement was to happen until there is a time. That time of reformation is the coming of Christ. That time has come now. So that Day of Reformation came, Jesus entered and sat there. So why wouldn't there be atonement, Day of Atonement next year? Because the high priest is sitting there as the high priest, permanent high priest. His tenure is unchangeable. Okay, look at next verse. Okay, go back to that verse 10. I like the part that you put up NLT. Let's call him NLT. It says, for that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. See, it was a temporary thing. I didn't get the point. Now, next verse, verse 11. It says, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. Now, verse 12, he says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered into the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. And so that is what they were celebrating, the Day of Atonement. So you see, when you talk of everything, Pentecost talks about giving birth of many sons, but atonement goes further to show what Jesus is doing currently at the right hand of the Father. So when they were celebrating the Day of Atonement, they were celebrating the high priestly ministry of Christ in a figure. Are you still here this morning? They were celebrating the high priestly ministry of Christ in a figure. Let me show you one last scripture on this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. They were celebrating the high priestly ministry of Christ. So that's why they told them that day, do no work. He said, anybody that does any work will be killed that day. You stand up, you pick pin, they kill you that day. You stand up, you sweep your house, they kill you that day. Because it was to show them that when this Day of Atonement comes, nobody should do any work. It was a day of complete rest. I know what I'm talking about. Look at this. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, you know, he's a man. I told you he's a man. He said, well, he's God, but he's a man. The person I write to the Father is not God, he's a man. He said, what does that mean? He's a man. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice, I'm telling you, there is a man in heaven. That's why we can sit there too. This man sat there. I told you, he identified with us so that we can be identified with him. Are you still here? This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. So he didn't offer it and he left. They kept the blood. The blood is still dirty today. So till today, Jesus is still our high priest. Sat down on the right hand of God. Okay, verse 13. He says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I will explain this later. For by one offering, not two, he had perfected forever them who are sanctified. Hallelujah. So what they do every year, he did once. Sat down there at the right hand of the Father as the high priest. So he didn't sit down because he was tired. He sat down because the work was done. You get the point? He didn't walk and say, now wow, I don't tire, let me rest small, I beg. And Jamaica continued. No, that's what he did. He sat down because the work was done. Hallelujah. And so that's the Day of Atonement. So you see, the Feast of Trumpet speaks of celebration, jubilation, and rest found in Christ. Right? The Day of Atonement still explains that rest, but this time clearly showing what is currently happening at the right hand of the Father. The fact that Jesus is as the high priest. Now, then the Feast of Tabernacle, which you find in Leviticus 23, verse 33. That day, okay, the feast is how do they celebrate that? They make tents and tabernacles and they live inside of it for that feast. look at it. He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, let's just brush verse 34. Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Begin celebrating the festival of shelters on the 15th day of the appointed month, 5 days after the Day of Atonement. This festival to the Lord will last for 7 days. Verse 35. On the first day of the festival, you must proclaim an official day for holy assembly when you do know something about this feast. No work. You hear the point? No work. Do no work. Now, continue. For 7 days, you must present special gifts to the Lord. The eighth day is another holy day on which you present your special gifts to the Lord. This will be a solemn occasion and no ordinary work may be done that day. Verse 37. These are the Lord's appointed festivals. Celebrate them each year. Okay, just continue. 38. Okay, 39. I'll come to this later. 39. Remember that this 7 day festival to the Lord, the festival of shelters, begins on the 15th day of the appointed month, after you have harvested all the produce of the land. The first and the eighth day of the festival will be days of what? Complete rest. One thing emphasized in all these feasts that will be celebrated after Pentecost is you must rest. Verse 40. It says, on the first day, gather branches from magnificent trees. This is why it's called Festival of Shelters. Palm fronds, both from leafy trees and willows that grow by the stream. Then celebrate with joy before the Lord your God for 7 days. Verse 41. You must observe the shelter to the Lord for 7 days every year. This is a permanent law for you. It must be observed in the appointed month from generation to generation. Verse 42. 42. For 7 days, you must live outside in little shelters. All native born Israelites must live in shelters. All of them. Then 43, he says, this will remind each new generation of Israelites that I made as ancestors live in shelters when I rescued them. You know, I said this yesterday. When they were celebrating that feast, some of them were celebrating it as a remembrance of what has happened. Remember? Remember I said that yesterday? But actually, the New Testament tells us that this feast was about something that was to come, not what has happened. So they were to live in different shelters. On that day, throughout the 7 days, there will be no work. They will just harvest. It's a festival of harvest. They harvest their stuffs. They come, live in the shelters, celebrating, eating whatever. No work to be done. So these three feasts represent the life of the life we find in Christ after we have been saved. it shows Feast of Trumpets, all about celebration, jubilation, and rest. Third of Atonement, what Jesus is doing for us at the right of the Father currently, right? Festival of Shelters, we all dwell in shelters, doing no work. So, in summary, these are feasts that illustrate that after in the life we have in Christ, after Pentecost, will be a life of rest, a life in which Jesus will sit permanently as our high priest, where we do no work, but our offering and our sacrifice still counts. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? So our life in Christ, or let me put it this way, our life after Pentecost, every other feast you celebrate after Pentecost are feasts of rest. Do no work, complete rest. You work, I kill you. Do no work. Hallelujah. So what God was trying to teach is that when many sons have been brought to glory, that all there will be trumpets, atonements, shelters. Trumpets, jubilation, atonement, the high priestness of Christ. Jubilation, shelters, where we all rest in our little shelters, doing no work, but enjoying the benefits of redemption. And so, what will happen after you come into Christ, after ministers have been brought unto glory, will now be rest. Matthew 11 verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are laden, heavy laden, all you that labor, yeah, that's what I'm looking for, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what he promises is that when you come, what you receive in him is rest. And that's what he was trying to show them. And that's what he was trying to show them too, when he said celebrate Sabbath. I'm coming to Sabbath shortly. I get the point. When he was saying celebrate Sabbath, it was not about having one Saturday where you don't do any work. Now, I'm not in support that you do all your work on weekends. I'm not really in support. I for one believe, especially in this part of the country, that Sundays should be days of rest. It's not because the Bible said so, it's because you're a human being. You get the point? Rest on Sunday. Have time with your family. Don't you have wife? Don't you have children? I thought you had. You sit with your children and your family, you rest on Saturday, you just come, take your kids out, you get the point? Spend good time. That's the health benefit of it. Because you see, if you die, Jesus will still keep saving men. I said you drop dead today because you are stressed out, men are still being saved. Crusades will still be holding, race of hearts will still hold. So once in a while, you rest. Jesus will step out one day for ministry, and when they came back, look, Jesus told them, come, stand, settle, so you rest. So there's a place for rest. But that's not what the Sabbath means. What this verse is teaching is, come unto me. Okay, next verse. You have Message Bible, right? But before you get to Message, just let's read with King James first. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Put up Message of verse 28. It blessed me years ago. I still read this today sometimes. Look at this. Are you tired? Is Message talk? Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You know when a guy says to a lady, come to me. Get away with me. You get the point? Get away with me. And you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Are you celebrating what Christ did, or are you doing which one are you doing? Hallelujah. Now verse 29, he says, that's the next verse. He said, I'll teach you how to have a rest. He said, walk with me and work with me. That's a walk. So I always say it's a walk before work. Do you get the point? Walk with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's unforced. It's a rhythm. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. That's 30. That's the life in Christ. He said, keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. So that is the rest Jesus promised. Hallelujah. That is what was promised in the day of atonement, in the festival of trumpets. It is a time where we all relax. We are not doing anything, but the high priest is in there doing the whole work. And then after that, we all go dwell in shelters, just sitting down, eating, flexing, all that kind of thing. So it's a life of rest. Now, don't misunderstand it. This doesn't mean you should not go to work. Amen. I'm coming to explain it. Just listen carefully. Before you say, man, this pastor, I like him. He's just saying, he's just showing us that laziness is the key. No, that's not. Hallelujah. Now, so it's a life of rest you find in Christ. And let me pause a little. That's what you find that God was trying to illustrate in the Sabbath. Remember all these feasts that they were celebrating, okay, was because of what? Why were they celebrating all these feasts? Huh? Come on. Why? What was the purpose of all these feasts? To point them to Christ. So they were celebrating what was to come. We saw that yesterday, right? Okay, Colossians chapter 2. Let me just take you to that place we read yesterday so that at least you wouldn't forget. Because I'm going to talk about something very important now. Colossians 2 verse 16. Colossians 2 verse 16 and 17. With NLT, we'll see. Because that, okay, so don't let anyone condemn you. This is why I want to, don't forget this. For what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, all these days that we mentioned, Sabbath, Passover, unleavened bread, he said, they're not going to condemn you for not celebrating them. Or new moon ceremonies, they're not going to condemn you. Or even Sabbath. Now, verse 17. For these rules are only shadows of what? The reality to come. So what you call Sabbath was not about what has happened. It was about what? Did you see that? There were shadows of the reality yet to come. Christ himself is that reality. So when you read your testament and you see Moses, which we'll see today, telling them, celebrate Sabbath because the Lord did this for you. Paul is showing that clearly that's not the right way to celebrate. They were to celebrate it because of what was to come. Are you still here this morning? Are you still here this morning? Okay, let's look at Sabbath. The first place you find Sabbath mentioned, or at least implied in the Bible, is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's we walk in King James for now. He said, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Keep that in mind. Exodus 20 verse 8. So on the seventh Sabbath, on that day, God rested. God rested. Exodus 20 and verse 8. 20 verse 8, not 8 verse 20. 20 verse 8. Okay. Now remember the Sabbath day to keep it. Now, which day is the Sabbath day again? Saturday. You think it's Sunday? We are all disobeying this law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay, verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Okay. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, even cattle, okay, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Now verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So what reason did Moses give them that they should rest? Because the Lord rested on the seventh day. Keep that somewhere. I'll come to it. The Lord rested. So the first reason he gave them to rest is rest because God rested on the seventh day. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 12. The Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord has commanded thee. Okay, verse 13. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Verse, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter nor thy manservant. You know this is related to what we saw in Exodus now, right? Everybody should not do any work. Verse 15. Let's see why. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So, what reason is he giving them why they should keep it here? Because the Lord brought them out from Egypt. Did you see it? So, two reasons he gave them for keeping the Sabbath. Number one, because the Lord rested on the seventh day. Number two, because the Lord brought them. I wish there was a board here. Number two, because the Lord brought them. You know, LMP is coming, right? Okay. Have you been to LMP before? Let me see your hand. Okay. In LMP, I teach with board and marker and everything. Hallelujah. But it's coming again this year. And for the end of this meeting, I'm going to announce the date for you. Amen. So that you can start registering for it. And this year, like I said, we're making provision for people who are not in town. We will create, we have Zoom meetings where you can watch us, but it's a personal link for everybody that registered for it. So I'll do the Zoom meeting. We'll give you assignments, everything. You'll participate fully. It's for everybody this year. Hallelujah. But then now we're looking at this. So he said, because that the Lord brought you out of Egypt, you keep the Sabbath. So we're seeing two reasons. Reason number one was the Lord created, or the Lord rested on the seventh day, right? Reason number two, the Lord brought them out of Egypt. Let's start with number two. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4. The Lord brought them out of Egypt into Canaan. Because the Lord brought them out of Egypt into Canaan, they should rest. Okay. For he spake in a seventh day on this wise, and God did rest from all his works. Verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 7. Verse 8. I'm trying to show you something if I get all this, please. For if Jesus had given them rest, who is Jesus there? Huh? Joshua. It's not Jesus of Nazareth too. It's just the way they translated it. Jesus is Joshua in the Hebrew. You know, right? Is Yeshua. How are you sure? Put up another translation. King James called it Jesus. Verse 8. Another translation. If Joshua has succeeded. Did you see now? Did you see it? So that Jesus there is not Jesus of Nazareth. You know, Jesus is a normal name anybody can answer. If your name is Joshua, you are Jesus. It's not like your name means Jesus. Yeshua. Joshua. Jesus. Jesus. On a name. Hallelujah. Now he said, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, what did Joshua do for them? Joshua took them to Canaan, right? Brought them out. Moses brought them out of Egypt, and Joshua took them into Canaan. He now said, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God will not have spoken about another day of rest. So it tells us that even though Joshua took them to Canaan, Joshua did not give them rest. Are you here? So when God was saying they should rest because the Lord brought them out of Egypt and took them to Canaan, what he was referring to was not what Joshua did for them. Come on, I know what I'm saying. Should I say it again? Did Moses bring them out of Egypt? Did Joshua take them into Canaan? Did Joshua take them into rest? So when they were celebrating the fact that they were taken out of Egypt into Canaan, the writer of Hebrews is saying that wasn't the real thing. Whatever Joshua did was not the real thing. He said, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken. Verse 9. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. So when Moses was saying rest because the Lord brought you out of Egypt and took you to Canaan, he was not talking about what has happened. Hallelujah. He was talking about what will happen. So the Sabbath was to be celebrated in anticipation of a special rest. I get what I'm talking about at all. Because remember Colossians 2. These rules, Sabbath inclusive, are shadows of a reality to come. Hebrew 4 is concurring to it. He's saying that actually, even though there was a bringing out of Egypt and taking to Canaan, that wasn't the real rest. So what some of them understood was rest because they brought out of Egypt. The writer of Hebrew is saying no. What the real thing did not happen when they entered Canaan. If you are still here, say amen. And so, Emmanuel, I said, so Joshua didn't give them the rest. So they were not resting because of Canaan. Sabbath was not being celebrated because of Canaan. Sabbath was being celebrated because of a special rest that was still to come. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying so far. Is it confusing? It's okay to say you don't understand. Thank God we are not up to 1,000 here. So at least I can hear what I'm saying. Is it confusing? Just if you don't understand, just raise your hand. I'll go over it again. Don't be like, come on, don't be like me. When those days in math class, then I say, at this point, what do? You differentiate. He says, what is it? Everybody announce the answer. I'll now be smiling like Christmas goat. You know, that's what it is. Today, I have not been able to, don't look at me like that. But you see, as simple as that, what differentiate? Is it subtraction? I don't know. Because this I used to do. So if you don't understand, just say it. That's why I'm here. Now, some don't even know cross multiply. At this point, you do what? You cross. Now, cross multiply, what's the answer? And when they announce 4, you now check your notes. You're getting 27. Yeah? Yes. But you cannot raise your hand to say, you know, sometimes they get the answer in numbers and you got your answer in alphabets. They got 4, you got D. Don't announce, just cover your, just cover it and say, I'll learn it later. You don't learn anything. Just admit you don't know it. Okay, so let me go by it again. Yeah, remember your math story, I know. I know you failed mass. You mustn't announce it. We know. Hallelujah. I know you failed mass. Amen. I don't know the people that invented mathematics. I don't know what they had in mind. Hypocrites. Anyway, and so you find. So what I was saying is, remember, the instruction was, they should rest because the Lord brought them out of Egypt into Canaan. Right? So in reality, it was looking like Moses was saying rest because of what has happened. Right? In remembrance of what has happened. But then the writer of Hebrew now says that actually that bringing out of Egypt into Canaan was not really the real rest that God was talking about. So verse 9 now says there remaineth yet another rest. So if in reality they should rest because of coming out of Egypt into Canaan, and the writer of Hebrew is saying that it was not the real thing, it means their rest was about something in the future. Get the point? That was about another rest that was coming. So Sabbath was illustrating something, another door, special rest that was to come. Is it clear? Now, let me explain it again using this first reason he gave them. What the first reason was, they should rest because God rested on the seventh day. Did God rest on the seventh day? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Why did he rest? Genesis 2 verse 2. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Woo, glory. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has made. So God rested. God rested. God rested. Now, Hebrew 4 verse 2. May the Lord grant you understanding from now. Hebrew 4 verse 2. So God rested because the work was finished. The question is, which work was finished? Hello? Which work? For unto us was the gospel preached. What was preached? What was the gospel? What's the gospel? Christ's death and resurrection, right? What Christ did on the cross. So it was preached unto them. Which people? The children of Israel. Okay, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works we have finished, from which works? Let's start from verse 2 again. I will read it 2 times more till you get it. Okay, put up like NLT. So I love the word of God. He said, but this good news that God has prepared his rest has been announced to us, just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Verse 3. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Even though this very rest that we who believe shall enter has been ready. So the work, what work was finished? What work was finished that made God rest from all his work? Salvation, right? He says, so does it mean Jesus had died in Genesis? Well, and so God, what do you understand, as I was explaining shortly now, is that God rested in Genesis physically because you think it was because he made the whole heaven and the earth and all that. That's no work for God. He just said, let there be. He rested with redemption in view. So the writer of Hebrews verse 2 said, even though this rest has been ready. Okay, Revelation chapter 13 verse 4. Let me drive it home more. The work, which work? He rested on the seventh day because the work was finished. And now this work, the King James tells us, has been ready from the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4. Now, please put up King James. Hope I'm right. And they worshipped. Okay. This is not what I'm looking at. This is what I'm looking for. Go to verse 5. No, I think I've missed it. Get me that place where the Bible says that the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. 13 verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from. So when was Jesus slain? From the foundation of the world. But he died in Matthew. Now what he was trying to say, what happened in Matthew had already happened in the mind of God. So the work was finished from the foundation of the world. What happened in Matthew was just. Do you get the point? The lamb was, verse 8, the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Hebrew now says the work was finished from the foundation of the world. Genesis 2 verse 2 now says God rested because the work was finished. So Moses now says rest on the seventh day because the Lord rested from his work. So the reason they were still to rest was because of a work that has finished in the mind of God, but that was yet to come. Did you get the point now? So Sabbath was not actually resting because God made heaven, made earth. Sabbath was resting because a work, the lamb has been slain long ago. It was tidied up from the foundation of the world. So God rested with redemption in view. I will stop here. But that's where you now understand. We start talking about the tree of life. You find out that tree of life was representing someone. It was Christ in that garden. Because in the mind of God, the work has been done. And so God rested with redemption in view. And so when he was saying rest on the seventh day, because the Lord rested from all his work, he was saying rest on the seventh day because the Lord has finished the work of redemption. Rest on the seventh day because the Lord has finished the work of salvation. Rest on the seventh day because Jesus has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Okay, so why were they celebrating the Sabbath? They were celebrating it with Jesus. What Jesus had done
in the mind of God, but what Jesus will do. Do you get the point? Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's drive it on further. Oh, glory. So they celebrated the Sabbath because of a work that has been finished and will be fulfilled, and the rest that will still come. Are you still here? So when they were celebrating Sabbath, it wasn't about what happened from Egypt to Canaan. It was about what happened from the cross to the throne. Do you get the point? Are you getting the point? Because from Egypt to Canaan was just a picture of something that was yet to come. So what am I saying? Canaan is not the promised land. I said that too early. Canaan, in the physical, they entered Canaan and entered the promised land. But that wasn't what God was trying to say. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18. With NLT now. Let's now take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. I love the word of God. Hebrews 3 verse 18 with NLT.
His builder and designer is the God of the ages.
Ready for me.
Now I live in the city
with
a true foundation.
A home
in the heavens,
not
made by hands.
He's the builder and builder. He's the Lord of the ages. He made it for me before the world began.
I don't know why I'm singing this song, sir. But I'll come to this song in the evening. Because I just mentioned Canaan. The land that we are going to was not a physical country. You did get the point. Everything they were celebrating were things that was to come. So when they were resting on the Sabbath day, it wasn't about, oh, we are resting to remember that God brought us up and God rested from his work. Which work again? Which work? The work of redemption. And Hebrews 3 verse 18. NLT, please.
Mama na la mana na no le ani le gabuza de yada. He prepared it for me.
For the world began.
Look at this. Now, everybody, please follow this flow. And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it people that disobeyed him? Verse 19. So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter into his rest. Next verse. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. And so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Verse 2. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Now verse 3. For only we who believe can enter. So how is the real rest entered? So what they were journeying from Egypt to Canaan was just a physical whatever of where we will enter into the real main rest. And that will come by believing. He said, for as the others, God said in my anger, I took an oath. Why did he take an oath that will not enter his rest? Because they refused to believe. Jump to verse 10. Verse 10. So this rest is found in Christ. Verse 10. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. Verse 11. Woo! Next verse, please. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as people of Israel did, we will fail. How did they disobey God? They refused to believe the gospel that was preached to them. That was preached to us too. So, have you believed the gospel? So what does that mean? So, we've entered rest. So, when God told them to celebrate Sabbath, they were having a taste of the real rest that we're going to have in Christ.
point? So every Saturday, once every week, they will do no work. They will sit in their house, they will rest, which some are still practicing today. He was all trying to show that someday, a set of people are going to rest because of what has happened in redemption. So I came to announce to you this morning at Resofar 2020 that by the reason of the work that was finished before the foundation of the world, which has been fulfilled in Christ, we have entered the real rest. We got into that rest when we believed in Jesus. Do you have believers here? When we believed in Jesus. So why did they not enter the rest? They did not enter because of their unbelief. Why have we entered the rest? We have believed in Jesus. That's the same thing that they were trying to teach with the Feast of Trumpets, with the Day of Atonement, with the Festival of Shelters, with the Sabbath. God was just trying to say, rest, rest, rest. Because the time is going to come that all you have to do will be to rest, and to rest. And that time is today. This is the time of reformation. This is the day of rest. So today we are resting. We are resting. Look at verse 10. Read verse 10. I want us to echo verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors. Put up like in James. Their labors. So it means that the day you came into Christ, your labors ended. Now this is not talking about hard work, physical work. No, I'll show you what it's talking about. For he that is entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. So the same way God finished the work, you know the work he did? The same way he finished the work and now rested. He's saying the work has been finished for you. Brother, rest. It's amazing that, if I say that, what that means is that what they were celebrating once every week, we are celebrating every day of the week. So today is Sabbath day. Tomorrow is Sabbath day. Next tomorrow is Sabbath day. We are always in Christ, always resting, always resting. It's amazing that people still celebrate this thing. Every week you are celebrating, you are trying not to cook. So when he said, don't cook, don't sweep your house, don't do all this, he was pointing to something that will come later. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. Did you get it? I will give you Canaan. I will give you promised land. I will give you rest. That's what he was saying. So in those feasts, he was trying to show that there is something that will come after resurrection. Men that have been recreated by God will be men that will rest. It's amazing that we have entered into rest, and many are still not resting, even in rest. And that's the way I used to explain Matthew 11. Go to Matthew 11, verse King James, verse 28 again. I just explained it to one. I really like it. I know it makes a lot of sense. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, verse 29 now says, he said, I will give you. Then I said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. The way I have Pastor Prince explain this, that may not be too correct, but I want you to show you something. He said in verse 28, you will find rest. I will give you rest. In verse 29, he now says, you will find rest. He said, some people have received rest from God. They've not found it yet. I didn't get the point. Some have, the rest has been given. Then you came into Christ, you came into rest. Some have been given rest. They are still working. He said, so what does that mean? This rest. Okay. Let me just use one. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God. This is the rest we have in Christ. He said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about
trying to establish their own righteousness. When we came into Christ, we came into rest. Some are still moving up and down, looking for what has been given them in Christ. Let me tell you, say, never rest. You've been made righteous. You've been made holy. Stop going about trying to establish your own. Rest. For they that have come into Christ have rested from all their labors. They are still trying to please God. They are still trying to find the will of God. They are still trying to become God's friend. They are still trying to make God accept you. They are still fasting for God to accept them. I'm not against fasting. But if fasting is for God to accept us, we are of all men most miserable. We don't fast to gain acceptance before God. We are still trying to fast to get God to accept us. We are still trying to confess our sins to be able to become God's friends. We are still trying to put the wear our filthy garment. There is no filthy garment here. Come on. Nobody here can wear filthy garment. It's not possible. He says, I don't talk like that though. You know the Bible used to tell us in the book of the Bible told us that in the book of Zechariah, Joshua the high priest was wearing a filthy garment. The angel Satan was on his side condemning him. Listen, Joshua wore a filthy garment. I explained this as a way, remember? Joshua wore a filthy garment. Right? Zechariah chapter 3 with NLT, go to verse 8 or so. Joshua wore a filthy garment, and the angel of Satan was at his right hand condemning him. Now, after that whole drama, put up NLT, after that whole drama, look at God's conclusion of that drama. Listen to me, O Joshua the high priest. Who is Joshua again? What's the name of Joshua again? Yeshua, right? He said, and all the other priests, you are symbols of things to come. Soon, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. So what Joshua was illustrating is how the branch will come and wear our filthy garments. Him who knew no sin. He became sin for us. You get the point? Nobody can wear filthy garments here. From that day when the prodigal son came back, the father said, remove that filthy garment from him. Put the choice garment on him. We are back. Hey, but later, we are back. And we have received the garment, so forget that thing. Daily rest. Sit up for a moment. Romans chapter 10, let's go back to verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. And look at this. For they don't understand. Okay, look at where NLC put it. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. People are trying to find God's standard. You see, the day Jesus rose from the dead and Pentecost happened, you came into him. You are launched into a year, a season, a lifetime of rest. So what that means is that whatever they were looking for in the Old Testament, you have found. I'm done leaving it. Everything they were looking for. That's why I did that song. You know, the original version of that song is, I'm looking for a city with a true foundation. That's what they were singing. That's what the writer of people wrote. Because the Bible said they were looking for a city. He was referring to the Old Testament guys. That city they were looking for. Huh? We have found that city. And so we are not traveling in the wilderness anymore. You don't understand this thing. We have not walked. They were walking in the wilderness for 40 years looking for Canaan. When you finally find Canaan, no more wilderness. You sit down in Canaan, right? Now, we have walked in wilderness all this while as unbelievers. But the day we said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, we entered Canaan, we entered rest. So it's time to rest because we have actually entered. How can you be in rest and are still going about trying to establish your own righteousness? Who sent you walk? It's time to rest. Glory. So this is not about not working. This is not about not doing any work. This is about getting into that Sabbath. And you are sitting down. You are so sure that God is pleased with me. You are so sure that nothing I can do can please God more. And nothing I can do can unplease him. You are so sure. That's the rest in Christ. That's the rest in Christ. Hebrews 4 verse 10 again. With King James, he said, they that entered rest, they have ceased from their works. since God rested, he has never lifted a finger. He rested from his work. He ceased from his work. That's why I told you that work is not creation. Because after creation, you find out that God still worked in the redemption of our souls, right? You see, God still worked when Jesus came to earth and all that. So his rest was not really was not about creation. It was about the fact that the real work will be done. What do you think is the work that God did? You think is that he created the earth? Everything he got by saying, let there be, let there be, let there be. That wasn't the job. The job was, he has pictured redemption, pictured his son's 33 years on earth. Pictured when he will get to the cross and when he enter heaven as the atonement. And when he saw all of that, he rested from his work. He rested. He rested. He rested. He rested. So redemption was in his mind. You were on his mind. Resurrection was on his mind. When he sat down, he rested. Since that day, he has not been able to stand up because there is no work to be done. Now, the writer of Hebrews now saying, or Moses was not telling them, just like God finished his work and sat down and rested, every week celebrates that thing that happened. The writer of Hebrews is now saying that our own is no longer every week. Our own is not our everyday thing. So you can never, it's wrong, it's a crime to find a believer looking for ways to please God, being under pressure. Some people work themselves out. Listen to me, if you want to pray, go and pray 10 minutes, 2 hours, 8 hours, 16 hours. That is not to please God. I've told you what prayer does. In prayer first, right? In prayer, you are just setting things in place. That's why I explained to you that even when it comes to answering prayer, well, I don't know whether you're going to understand this. I'm not saying God's not involved in your life, but even when it comes to answering prayer, it is the power at work in you that gets prayer to be. It's not like, oh, you've done, God will not stand up and start moving from place to place. He said unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in you. So God is resting. So that same way he's resting, rest. Just like my father is, that's how I am. I'm not looking for a way to please him. So by running helter-skelter, you're looking for ways to become more holy with God. You're looking for ways to become more right. Can't you see that since you become born again, your life has become worse than it was? The simple peace that you used to enjoy, now you became born again, that peace has eluded you because you are just thinking of how much I have not missed it. How much I paid my tithe. How much I gave my first fruit. How much God is not angry with me. How much check your life, check your life. Because even 99% cannot enter heaven. Can't you see the pressure you are under? Every minute you are muttering, Father, forgive me my sins in Jesus' name. Father, forgive me my sins. Did you not do that? You didn't confess your sins on the go. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, everywhere I've sinned against you, the one I did yesterday, the one I will do tomorrow, forgive me. Jesus. Can't you see how much under pressure you are? I wish you can know that there is rest in Christ. I wish you can know that when you came in, you came in. When you came in, so sit down and rest. Really, really rest. What are you looking for? Everything has been given unto you. Father, increase my anointing. No! He that has anointed us is God. Everything you are looking for has been given. It has been given. So even when we are praying, we are not pouring more oil on ourselves. We're only stirring up things on the inside. Everything has been given. It's a life of rest. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not going about trying to establish my own righteousness. It's been given. It's been given. With NLT, let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Still talking about, and maybe I'll touch this again at night. Maybe rounding up. Romans 4, verse 5. Kamalata. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God. So how do people become righteous? Their faith in God who forgives sinners. So how can you put your faith in that God that forgives sinners and you are still looking for righteousness? You are inside. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? You have put your faith. That is how people are counted as righteous. So before God, you are still righteous. But as far as you are concerned, there is still work to be done. Who sent you message? Sometimes you are doing something. God is sitting in heaven saying, who sent you? Who sent you? What are you doing? What are you doing? Even God is confused at how you are stressing yourself trying to meet his standard. Which standard? If you have to meet God's standard, you will never meet it. Give up. You can never say give up. You didn't know God's standard. You can never meet it. But then when you couldn't meet it, Passover happened. An exchange happened. Sin for righteousness. You remember? Sin for righteousness. And then he brought you to his level and sat you with him. So when we are seated with him in heavenly places, when he made us sit there, all he was saying is, just calm down. Just rest. Just rest. God, who knew no sin, became sin for you. So people are counted off as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in that God who forgives sinners. You know, some of us know this, but at some times you still find yourself trying. Sometimes you just make one mistake and just feel, man, I just need to change. You know, God is angry with me. See, if you have to change from your evil ways, change. If you want to stop sinning, stop, because that's not your nature. But if you think that is ever going to make God be more pleased with you or not, that's a law mindset. You know what it means to have a law mindset? What they call work of the law. Work of the law is not, you know, I used to teach you guys, anything you do can be a good work. It can be a work of the law. We are created and saved unto good works. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. Remember? But we are not saved unto the works of the law. So, sir, what's the difference? None of them, good works of the law cannot save us, but we are saved unto what? Good works is, okay, work of the law is, I'm going to wear a very long skirt. Why will you wear a long skirt? Because when you wear a short skirt, God will look away from you. It does not occur to you that when they gave birth to you, you are naked. Wait, calm down. Now, I'm going to wear a long skirt because when I wear a short skirt, God will not be looking my direction. That is a terrible work of the law. Now, what is good work? Good work is to say, I'm going to wear a good long skirt that will cover me well, because this body is not for advertisement. I'm going to wear a long skirt because God has saved me and I'm just living the life that I am. I'm going to dress well, not because I'm trying to please God, but because God has called me his own. And there is a life befitting of this new status. Are you getting the point? The normal you becomes the president of Nigeria, they give you some orientation. They say, sir, you are now the president. When you get to the road, when you want to ease yourself, don't step down and lift your clothes and stand. Or if you're a lady, don't just do at ease and ease yourself. You know, you are now the president. They're not trying to tell you how to become president. They're trying to tell you how to live because you are now the president. Now, if you stand on the road and ease yourself, well, you are still the president. But you are not living the life befitting of that position. I don't even get the point. So, what is good works? Good works is when I say, a work of the law rather, is when I say, I'm not going to ease myself on the road so that I will remain president. No. But good works is going to say, I'm not going to ease myself on the road because I am the president. We don't do good work. We don't do works to become righteous. We work because we are righteous. Hallelujah. So why wouldn't we find you all over the place, partying all over the place, partying, clubbing from place to place? It's not because, you know, when they were inviting me to a party in my school days, so I told them I'm also going to attend. So the guy told me, he said, this guy, all these believers, in the fear, you don't want me to have an happy. So I smiled. I told him, I said, see, if I'm in that party with you and the trumpet sounds, I will leave all of you. And I meant it. I will leave all of you, A to Z. I'll leave all of you and go. I'm so sure. And I said, if not so, now why you not go come? Say, I can't just come. It's not me. It's not about heaven. It's that it's rest. So when you are doing your work, you are doing it from a point of rest. Some people have even turned ordinary evangelism, ordinary preach the gospel, has become a work of the law for some people. You are trying to preach the law because the more souls you add to the kingdom, the more money God will add to your account. Or the more souls you add to the kingdom, the more God will become, God will be seeing you as, this child. You can imagine God turning to Angel Michael and say, with the reason this child is so, this one they try. And that's how you think God is. Evangelism that is meant to be a sweet thing, communicating your life to others, is now work. Even prayer that is supposed to be a thing of joy for some people is now something they have to do for God to be happy with them. Say, sir, I've not prayed for the past 2 days. When you remember it, just start praying. It's not to start feeling bad. Oh God, I've not prayed. If you remember you have not prayed, start praying. I trust Satan. He can take advantage of anything. Anything. He can even say, well, imagine Satan now cares about late coming. When you come late, he's condemning you for coming late. How? What is business that you came on time? And so, walk of the Lord is when I'm trying to come on time. Because if I don't come on time, God will be so angry with me. And maybe if I get to church, rapture has taken place. No. Was that not preached to you? Imagine rapture took place on a Sunday morning and you didn't come to church that day and you are in your house. And that's why you go to church and you go on time. Why do we come early to church? Come on now. Why will you be a late comer in the first place? There is a good work befitting this new status. You know, the Bible calls, Paul calls our office a high calling. That's the way we behave. There's a new status we've received. That's the way we talk. We don't insult people. We don't lash out on people. It's not because we are trying to please God, but because there is a new status. We are seated with Him. So everything we do from a point of rest. I'm resting in Christ. I'm not trying to please Him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, but now faith has come and we have pleased God. Romans about John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. John 6, 28 and 29. Thank God we have NLT here. Look at this. I like this place very well. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Some people want to walk. Say, forget this Sabbath thing. Listen, we need to. It's all about sacrifice. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one He has sent. This is the only work. So He's saying, after you do this work, what else should you do? Rest. Calm down. When you do this work, begin to enjoy the Feast of Trumpets. When you do this work, enjoy the Festival of Shelters. Blow trumpets all over the place. Dance, celebrate, rejoice. Because actually, you have come into the real thing. What they spent 40 years in the wilderness to get into was only a shadow. Imagine, 40 years was only a shadow. See all the stress. Do you realize that of all the people that left Egypt into Canaan, only two people entered? That is why, if you are trying to go from Egypt to Canaan by your work, you are not going to get in there. You are not going to get there. Even Moses, the one that brought them out, did not enter. He saw it and died. That stressful job, God now said, no, that is a way to get into the real thing. Just believe in the one He has sent. Have we believed in Jesus here? Come on, church. So we should be resting. Are we resting? Are you still trying to please God? This way ministry now becomes easy. You see some of us burning out our lives for ministry. It's not because we are trying to make heaven. We are so sure. You know why you are not so sure that you are going to go to heaven or not? You want to take care of yourself first before you preach to others. Have you ever thought of that? Say, let me be sure first. It's not after calling you to enter. I don't want to be aboro. After loading people into heaven, I will not enter. I'm not so sure I'm going, so let me be sure. But when you are so sure, when the resurrection was coming, how many of you are so sure you are coming? So you are inviting people. But up and up can never go be now, but you are still guessing, will I come, will I not come? You'll be telling me, my resurrection to be a powerful program. Very, 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 very powerful. Let's try and be there. There is no conviction anywhere. That's how people preach about heaven. That's how they preach about Jesus. Jesus is good. He got, you know, this. But then there is no conviction. But there is a knowing. That knowing brings rest. We have come in. We are in Canaan. We are in the promised land. We are in the Sabbath day. We are in the festival of trumpets. We are in the festival of shelters. We are in our real rest. So really, really rest. You know, really rest. I'm talking to somebody in this place with all the mistakes that you have made. God is not happy that you made those. God is not clapping for you for making those mistakes. But he's not throwing you away yet. And he will never do. If you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your father? If your earthly father cannot discard you when you make a mistake, don't ever think God will ever do that. How many of you know that sometimes when you go to God and say, Father, I'm sorry, I did this or I did that, I can hear God saying, I'm not aware. I am not aware you did. He says, are you not saying God was not ceasing? Some of you don't realize that the eyes of God are too holy to behold iniquity. He can't. His eyes are too holy. He can't see those things. His eyes are too holy. And so what did he do? He took away sin. He remembers the way, right? He took away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He took away sin. So the sin issue has been handled. So rest. Let me ask you, enjoy. Enjoy your rest. Enjoy. You've entered rest. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. What is all this tension in the heart of believers about making it? All this tension about pleasing God. Imagine your father is like the God you have in your head. That God that can wake up from the wrong side of the bed tomorrow and not talk to you again. That God that once you make a mistake, he takes his Holy Spirit from you. What is his Holy Spirit again? His DNA. Like you sin, and your father will say, come. I don't mind it. Nina say, Father, I'm sorry. Last chance. Imagine your father is like that. But that's not the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So are you now saying that we should continue sinning? You see your problem. Then I said this on Thursday. Let me say it here. You see, you know there are phones that are waterproof, right? iPhones, Samsung. I know you've not seen them, but you know about them, right? Please browse them, okay? Yeah, waterproof means that if you throw it into water, not this one, Sam, my phone is not seeing well again. Say why? It enters small water, it's not seeing well again. There are waterproof phones. Those waterproof phones mean that if you drop them inside water, nothing is going to happen to them. Now, when the advertisers tweet, this phone is waterproof. Now, what they are not saying is that when you now get the phone, you should now go and live inside swimming pool. And say, it's waterproof. Now, in your new house, when you want to sleep, you go to swimming pool and you now throw the phone inside and say, let me go and sleep. What they are saying is that in case it enters water, you are safe. Do you get the point? That's why 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children, I am writing to you that you do not sin. But if anyone sins, in case, we are not saying you should go and live inside sin. We are saying should in case, perhaps, by mistake, anyone sin, we have an advocate. I think that's very simple to understand. And so in this rest, we rest. In this rest, we rest. If you want to talk to the Holy Ghost, go ahead and do that. If you want to speak in tongues, Shama Talaya Daba Retosi, Hinkala Bateyak. Galatians 5 verse 1 with NLT. I have a final instruction for you. It's a command I want to give you. Galatians 5 verse 1. Shama Mateya. Maybe with NLT, let's look at it. Mantalaba Yantelebu Komanda. Galatians 5 verse 1. Put up NLT because of our time. So Christ has truly set us free. Make sure that you stay free. That's my instruction to you. Stay free. not get tied up again in slavery to the law. Let me explain this with the Old Testament English. This verse simply means, do not walk on the Sabbath day. Do you get it? On the Sabbath day, there should be no work. In this Sabbath day, if you walk, now you shall be, I have entered rest. Stay free. Stay free. God is pleased with me. God is pleased with me. Always. Always. I sense in this place, some of you, that joy that came with salvation is rising in you again. Some of you, you don't, before you came, you didn't even know that you are still born again or not. I'm telling you, forget rest. Rest. You forgot that you are born again. Or is it thinking, am I still sure that with all these things and all that thing that I've done, rest. Stay free. Give him praise for rest. Some of you need to start reaffirming and assuring yourself, God is pleased with me. I'm not going about trying to find God, trying to earn God's standard or to earn peace with God. Right now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. So God is pleased with you. This is the Sabbath day. This is the festival of trumpets. Rest. No work on the Sabbath day. It's a tough completeness. No work at all. No work. I'm giving you some time. Just let's bless him.
Information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.